It's coming up to 13 minutes past 8 a.m. Now, August 30th is International Day of the Disappeared, a day to honor the memory of missing persons, acknowledge the loss and challenges faced by their families, raise awareness of the humanitarian impact of the issue and search for solutions. It is particularly important day for the families of the missing as it acknowledges their loss and recognizing their right to know what happened to their loved ones. Today, joining us to have a conversation on this particular topic is Sahat Ostuk, who is a missing delegate for the ICRC. And also we have Israel Medina, Mental Health and Psychological Support Delegate, ICRC. Sahal, good morning, and it's good to have you on the Mirai Breakfast Show.
Good morning, and thanks a lot for hosting us. It's our pleasure.
And we also have Israel. Good morning. Good to have
you. Good morning.
Now, let's have a conversation, of course, on this International Day of the Disappeared. What is the International Day of the Disappeared all about, and why it is important?
So, the International Day of the Disappeared, the 30th of August, is important in the sense that it gives us a moment, an opportunity to stop and think about the pain and the ambiguity, the families of missing persons and also the missing persons themselves are going through. In a situation of violence, in a conflict, or in any other situation, a country or a community can face many problems, and the disappearances does not necessarily come in the first place. So I would say this day is important in the sense that we can have the moment to understand, to try to understand and emphasize what families of missing persons are going through. Because as I would like to explore further, they are having multiple challenges.
Indeed, we'll look at those challenges. Now, is this issue, I mean, is the issue of the missing persons relevant for South Sudan? And how many people went unaccounted for?
Well, of course it is relevant for South Sudan because the long-lasting conflicts and other situations such as natural disasters or abductions, or any other situation of intercommunal violence that leads families to go to different places and lose track of each other, affect the families and the communities deeply. And in South Sudan, currently, the ICRC, International Committee of the Red Cross, and the South Sudan Red Cross are currently tracking a total of 5,700 cases at this moment. And I would say since the independence of South Sudan, we had more than 10,000 cases.
And some of them people who went missing, and then the families don't know where they are, absolutely.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, why do people go missing? I mean, is it always related to armed conflicts only? Or now that, like, for example, now that the peace process is ongoing, do they disappear and still take place?
Well, of course, an apparent answer is that conflicts and violence is a common cause of disappearances, as many families fear and run for their lives and find themselves separated from their loved ones. But I wouldn't say this is the only issue. Equally, for example, we can talk about natural disasters, floods that affect also many regions of South Sudan. So we can imagine families having to run away and leaving their livelihoods and assets, and then losing track of each other. And in addition, there can be other concerns for disappearances as well, such as I mentioned, abductions or cases of detentions when the information about the detention is not communicated to the family as it is supposed to in accordance with the law.
Now, Israel, is it usually difficult to cope with the disappearance of a missing relative?
Yes, in fact, there is something that we call in psychology ambiguous loss. Normally, there is a normal process of coping with the loss, what eventually leads to a closing stage, when the person can already move forward. When we lost either a person or we lost another. Thing, but in the disappearance is always the ambiguity. We don't know exactly what happened. We don't know if the person is alive. We don't know if the person is dead. We don't know if we will see again. So in this stage of uncertainty, which is probably one of the most difficult things to cope for human beings in life. So this increases all the circumstances that are difficult for the families.
And what are the most common needs and challenges now that is faced by these families?
Well, I think it's a very timely question that you ask, because I would like to mention our findings in the course of these last years. The ICRC and the SSRC decided to understand better and more in depth the needs of families of missing persons in South Sudan. So for this purpose, between November 2020 and April 2021, we conducted interviews with families of missing persons all across South Sudan. It amounted to 181 interviews, and my colleagues always told me those were very intense, sometimes very lengthy. Even one single interview were taking 3 to 4 hours. And in addition to that, we also interviewed some families now residing in Sudan, White Nile State. And we had also focus group discussions with families, children of missing persons in an IDP camp in Juba. So based on all this, what they told us, their priority need is overwhelmingly the need to know what happened to their relative. So imagine, out of 181 families, it was 86% of them who said, my first need is I need to know what happened to my relative. And I think it resonates very well with what my colleague is saying about the concept of not knowing and not being able to cope with it. And I would say the second and the third biggest challenge is mental health, how to cope with this pain. And the third one is the economic struggle coming with, or getting even worse with, the disappearance.
Now, with all this, what role does religion play in the daily suffering of families of missing persons, Mr. Israel?
Regardless the religion that everyone is attached to, religion plays a key role as a coping mechanism. Religion gives a sense of identity, a communal identity where I'm not alone. There is other people that are sharing the same religion that is supporting. That also gives a sense of protection. So there is someone above everything that in a difficult moment where I cannot rely on anything else, there is always this person that is taking care of and is looking for me. So this sense of protection that is given, also the sense of meaning sometimes. There is many people that is having a specific beliefs regarding, okay, this is happening for a specific situation, or there is something that is going to be recompensate, or so it's associated a meaning in a sense to the pain. And this is normally attached to religion beliefs. So these three components in general helps a lot. So as I said in the beginning, regardless of the religion, all the religions give the same structure that help the people to cope. Once again, especially in uncertainty, we cannot be sure about what happened.
And as we already know that this is a reality amidst us, what should be done to address the issue of the missing?
So the issue of the missing, we are talking about a number of cases. Only the ICRC and the SSRC could observe that amounts to 5,700. But our insight is that the issue is much bigger than that. We hope that the peace process, as it goes longer and stronger, will allow families to come back and have more demands to know what happened to their families. So actually, the issue is much bigger than what we can observe right now. And this brings the question, how can the state, the authorities, address this as a whole, provide a comprehensive response? Of course, the ICRC and the South Sudan Red Cross is working all across the country, but our capacity will never be enough to replace the responsibility of the authorities of South Sudan. And this is also not our intention to do so. So for this purpose, we are working with authorities all together, and we are supporting them in their efforts to develop a comprehensive legislation on the missing persons, as well as a mechanism to clarify the fate and whereabouts of missing persons. I might briefly mention that 2 years ago, the Minister of Humanitarian Affairs and Disaster Management established an interministerial working group for this specific purpose, to provide a comprehensive response to the issue of the missing. So now this working group aims towards the establishment of a legislation. Mm-hmm. Why am I mentioning the legislation?
Yes.
Because it is important for families in many senses. As it stands now, in the laws of South Sudan, there is no status of missing persons. This means it's very hard that your pain and your needs are acknowledged. Mm-hmm. So the law in the first place shall create a status of missing persons so that your family can have economic benefits and access to their own rights, mm-hmm. as they because their vulnerable status requires.
Mm-hmm. So what exactly are you saying the role of the authorities should be in this process?
Well, the role of the authorities, I would say, includes three steps. First, it involves, as the families demand by a big majority, mm-hmm. clarifying the questions of families about what happened to their loved ones. It is an both domestic and international law obligation of South Sudanese authorities. Mm-hmm. And secondly, to also prevent cases of disappearances. Because as we mentioned, mm-hmm. It's not only the conflict and the violence that leads to disappearances.
Yes.
There are more reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So the prevention aspect, taking the right measures, training their officers, armed forces, and security forces is also a huge part of the the response.
Great. And if someone is listening to us now who basically had a missing person and they don't know their whereabouts, how do they go about it?
Well, I hope in our audience there are some listeners, audience, who can really benefit from this particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ICRC and the SSRC are working towards South Sudan, across South Sudan, to clarify the fate of missing persons. So this is a core activity of our mandate.
Mm-hmm.
How do we do this? First, if families lost contact and want to reestablish contact, we provide phone calls and Red Cross messages, mm-hmm. so that they can get in contact as soon as possible and do not lose further the contact they have. But in addition, sometimes it happens that they already have lost contact and they have almost no idea where mm-hmm. their relatives are.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, we call tracing. So we look for these missing person within all capacity and best of our abilities. So I would suggest, if in our audience anyone needs such services, I would highly encourage them to approach an International Committee of the Red Cross or South Sudan Red Cross offices across South Sudan. And finally, maybe towards the end of the show, I would like to also provide the hotline numbers.
Sure.
So that they can have more information about
that. That would be great. Of course, I'll ask you later for that hotline numbers. But so far, have there been any success stories? Were you able to actually connect or inform families of their missing persons? Has there been some success stories?
Yes, I would say a nice part of our daily work is sometimes we witness in the first hand these stories. Mm-hmm. Even in our office, when we go out, we see a family reunification and we see how much it brings to the life of families.
Mm-hmm.
But if you would like to talk in terms of numbers,
mm-hmm.
In 2020, it was 940 cases that we were able to closely solve, positively solve, which means we were able to establish contact.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2021, it was 320. And in addition to that, sometimes it doesn't stop informing the families about mm-hmm. the whereabouts mm-hmm. of their missing relative.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in the vulnerable cases, we also do family reunifications. So last year, we were able to support 21 reunifications mm-hmm. of families who were dispersed across different parts of the country.
Mm-hmm. And I do believe one of the most difficult job that you have is to now inform the families in an unfortunate situation that you found out that their missing person have actually, is not longer alive, and it's that person, you've established the fact that the person has died in a way or another. Has that ever happened? And have you ever have to go through that to inform their families?
Well, I would say, of course, it's part of the possibilities. And unfortunately, this is a situation that happens, that the relative they're looking for and they're hoping mm-hmm. that he or she is alive and they could reunite one day is found to be not alive anymore. But I think of course, it's very hard to see the positive side in it, but maybe my colleague would also be
able
to explain
Israel.
Well, it's always tough to give this kind of news. Sometimes, not just here in South Sudan, but in other countries, we also have the same program of Families of the Missing. Mm-hmm. We have psychologists that are supporting the forensic team or the legal team mm-hmm. or the authorities to give the news. It's always difficult. It's always difficult and it requires a lot of sensitization of authorities and sometimes training in how to deliver these topics. Mm-hmm. But also what is important is that as bad can seem the news mm-hmm. gives also certainty to the situation.
Okay.
In some cases, I mean, when finally the person discovered that after many years there is a grave or there is a remains that the person is confirmed that they pass away. This allows the family or the relatives to close the process, to have certainty on what happened and be able to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's always tough. It's always tough, but I think that is a necessary process, and for many of them, it's a moment of relief as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and for families who are missing their loved ones, what coping mechanisms should they, you know, practice? What should they, you know, do in order to relieve all that mental disturbance that they go through every day? What coping mechanisms are there?
Well, I think that the coping mechanism is always something very individual and particular. But we can talk about the general things that the people is using. I think that the main coping mechanism is always social support. And it's part of what we are fomenting in the mental health part in mm-hmm. our program. So we have sessions. It's a cycle of 10 sessions where the family gather and we work with specific emotions, feelings, and coping mechanism. So through the program, what we are doing is encouraging the main natural coping mechanism, that is social support. Mm-hmm. So it's this recovering the social fabric, this natural link between people, which can help the people to cope mm-hmm. among them. Mm-hmm. Also, as we mentioned before, so religious belief is a very strong coping mechanism. There is specific things that the people is doing. For some of them is engaging in work, all of them is engaging in other activities, caring, to be active. There is always specific things, mm-hmm. but I think that it's always necessary to find what is working for each people rather than recommend something general. It's a matter
Great.
Of finding.
Sahal, you had wanted to add something briefly before we go to the next question.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. Since the question is also the question we ask directly to the families when we interview them.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to take this opportunity to also share their voices.
Please go ahead.
Because as my colleague mentioned, talking and sharing with someone and the religious beliefs are by far the most common coping mechanisms. But we understand there is also a sense of community, sense of sharing in these coping mechanisms. So we ask the families, if it was possible, what type of community event would be helpful for you?
Mm-hmm.
And again, out of 181 families, a big majority said collective prayers or collective ceremonies or group discussions. So I think this brings again the importance of the International Day of the Disappeared
mm-hmm.
because it gives maybe the opportunities, the authorities also an opportunity to acknowledge the demands and the needs of families and maybe to organize an event, a ceremony in their honor.
All right. Now, what do the ICRC and the SSRC do to support the families of the missing? Is there anything that you do?
Well, I would say in addition to our protection of family link services that I've been mentioning, the Red Cross messages, phone calls, the tracing that we do,
mm-hmm.
we take the issue on a multidisciplinary approach, which means that we work in different angles of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So as you see, I'm part of the team that tries to provide families and their relatives access to their rights and services. And my colleague here is supporting them in terms of mental health.
Mm-hmm.
But there's I think, more layers to that. We also work with authorities to increase the forensic capacity of South Sudan because as my colleague mentioned, it is very important that the fate is clarified even if the person is dead, so that the families can have an opportunity to have a closure. And in addition to that, I would say we are also trying to, with our best, to support the economic autonomy of families of the missing, albeit in a limited manner. But what we are aiming to do is to give them or enhance their job skills, so with our initiatives, they can take on and build up their jobs and have economic stability in their lives. Because unfortunately, most of the families, it is 83% of the families that we interviewed, they say we don't have our priority needs met. We don't have enough food on a daily basis, so we have to struggle for it.
All right. Yes, Sahel, I think that's all the time we have. Just before you let you go, the numbers, how can someone reach to you in case that they have a missing person and they needed some help from the ICRC? What happens?
Well, thank you for the question. So I would kindly invite our audience to take a pen and a paper, maybe to note these numbers. So we have two hotlines operated both by International Committee of the Red Cross and South Sudan Red Cross to provide support and information to people who lost contact with their family members. So South Sudan Red Cross hotlines is 922-821-552. And again, the second South Sudan Red Cross hotline is 914-992-755. And for the ICRC, International Committee of the Red Cross, it goes as 928-016-027. And lastly, 912-180-112. We hope that we will be able to provide all the information you need on these hotlines.
All right. Thank you so much. And yes, your final remarks now when it comes to missing persons. Let's begin with you, Mr. Israel.
Well, just to acknowledge in the situation of the needs. I mean, when family is experiencing the situation, there is always three levels of impact, the level at social level, at family level, and individual level. So these three aspects really is bringing a lot of distress in the families. So, and there is overlapping from the economical needs with the psychological needs, with the social needs, with the family dynamics. So just to understand that is far complicated, and just to try to be sensitive to the situation that they are going through.
All right, thank you so much. And Mr. Sahal?
Well, thank you. I believe in what we do. There is always a sense of hope for looking for persons and providing good news. So this is something we find a lot in our conversations with families of missing persons. But I think today the message is also a message of appreciation for their strength and resilience, because not only they struggle with not knowing the fate of their missing persons, they suffer from economic, psychological, psychosocial, administrative, legal consequences, and in addition to that, they do not feel acknowledged enough. So I believe it is the responsibility of all of us to stand by the families of missing persons and understand what they go through. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Israel, and thank you, Sahal, for coming to Mirai Studios. We do appreciate your time.
Thank you for having us.
It's our pleasure. Thank you.
All right. And yes, once again, the numbers to call are 922-821-552, or you can call 914-992-755. Another number is 928-016027. And finally, 912-180-112. So those are the numbers you can reach out to the ICRC if you need some help with someone missing. You're listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show. And yes, this is where, of course, the big conversation comes every morning. My name is David William, and we're with Irene Lasso going all the way to 10. Good morning.